Dossier on Demetrius. A document now gathering dust in a silent room.
Gregory Keene turns another page of The Dossier on Demetrius.
The things that took place after we set out to follow the messenger from Victoria Station may sound rather complicated, but in essence they were simple. We had our radio cars, our men on watch in the cloakroom at Victoria itself, and a working knowledge of every pole Demetrius was likely to employ. Demetrius had about a dozen men in the cloakroom to watch and report if we were following the trunk and the initiative. Well, his first messenger turned up, claimed the trunk, called a porter and had it bundled into a cab. We shadowed the cab. I've told you just how we did that so that we couldn't be detected. We shadowed the cab to a storage depot in Shaftesbury Avenue, and there the plot begins to thicken. The first messenger deposited the trunk. Almost immediately, a second messenger appeared and was given the receipt for it. This second messenger claimed the trunk and proceeded to take it away. And at this stage, I began to smell a rat. I left Paulus and Colonel Fentress in the radio cars to tail the second messenger in his taxi. Cutts and I went into the storage depot to take a closer look. I simply couldn't see the sense of what they'd been doing. Two messengers, one dumping the trunk and the next one taking it away immediately.
Take it easy, Major.
Cover me, Cutts.
But we'll miss the bloke what's gone on for the trunk, sir.
We'll soon see. Stand in the doorway and don't take your eyes off my back. Right. Here we go.
What's him, Yachty? Is he coming right up to the counter?
Cutts is in the doorway. He's holding his hand in his pocket. He's ready to shoot.
Keep your head down. Do something with those papers on the desk. Here he comes. Watch keen, Yachty.
I can't bear this.
Quiet, I tell you.
Cutts.
Yes, sir?
Here.
Colonel Fentress is waving from his car, sir. Bloke with the trunk's gone off. He wants us to get going after him.
Well, we can leave him to Paulus in the radio cars. What I want to know is, why did they leave the trunk here for 30 seconds and have a second messenger take it away?
The bloke at the desk won't know, sir, that's certain. I say let's get going.
I'm going to have a word with him just the same.
Keen, come on, man, you're wasting time here.
Shan't be a moment, Colonel.
Come on at once. Paulus is calling us in.
Do as the Colonel says, sir. What's keeping us here anyway? The trunk's gone.
I can feel something, Cutts. Reaching out to me here. Right here. What is it? What was the messenger drill for, and what's here that I can't put my finger on?
Keen, I'm losing patience with you. Come on.
All right, sir. Coming. I don't know, Cutts. I must be losing my grip. I'll swear we've missed a trick here somewhere.
That was a narrow shave. For a moment, I thought we were going to have a fight for it.
I'm not liking it, Demetrius. One step closer, and Keane's recognizing me, maybe.
If he had, you'd have been the last person he ever saw.
And Cutts is the last person I'm seeing. I'm knowing how Cutts is shooting. As that night in Cork Street, in the fog from across the street, he's putting one too close, first shot.
Keane wasn't supposed to know the loot was in Victoria. He's been watching every move we make.
Well, he's not watching us now. There he goes now with the others after our man with the dummy trunk. Are we going to stand here chattering all night, or do you think we might get on our way? Of course, we could make ourselves comfortable and wait until he returns. Would you like that?
It's not funny, Demetrius. They get too close. They are getting too close too many times.
Get the trunk out of the car. Quickly. Hey, open the door.
We're going straight back to the ship now?
We're not going near the ship. I'll tell you about it as we go. Well, get the attendant's tunic off. Eddie, open the door. What are you doing with that fellow there on the floor?
He's not dead, is he?
Possibly. I'm not interested. Open that door. Stop the car, Eddie. Come on, hurry. Hurry. In with the trunk, Yachty. That's right. Now stand it up against the back seat. Now then, in you get. We'll go over here, I'll drive. Well, we're off. It was close, I'll admit, but we're on our way at last.
Keane calling Paulus. Keane calling Paulus. Heading where?
Crossing Sloane Square. Heading east. Over.
It doesn't look as though they're heading for the docks, Keane.
You know, the whole thing's come unstuck since they changed messengers, sir. I simply don't see what Demetrius is up to.
We don't have to see Keane, so long as our radio cars don't lose the taxi with the trunk in it. That must lead us to Demetrius.
But back there at that storage depot, I'll swear that... Found it, Colonel. I had the oddest feeling.
Oh, come, come. You're screwing yourself up too tight, old man. You're beginning to imagine things.
I don't know, Colonel. You could be right.
Yes, of course I'm right. Now, look here. Demetrius could conceivably not want any one messenger to know both where the trunk came from, where it went. He might change them again yet.
Yes. Yes, that could possibly account for it.
Paulus to Keane. Come in.
Keane to Paulus. Over.
Turning left from Wolseley Road into Mount Street. Over.
Mount Street? Hang it all, I live in Mount Street. All right, Paulus, we're only a couple of hundred yards behind you.
Something of a coincidence, isn't it? The chap driving right past your flat, Keane?
I'm not sure, sir. It mightn't be a coincidence. Step on it, Cuts, catch up with them.
Right you are, sir.
Paulus to Keane. Paulus to Keane. Take it from here, Keane. The cab's pulling up at number 17. Isn't that where you live? Couldn't be a Codlin in the Apple anywhere, could there, old boy? Over.
My place. My place. Well, come on, come on, Cuts. Can't you get this creep moving any faster than this? The cab's stopping at my flat. I told you there was something fishy about that show back in Shaftesbury Avenue.
What is it now, Demetrius? We're not going to the sheep.
In the interests of absolute security, I thought it wise to keep those last details of our escape to myself.
But always we are going by ship.
That's what you've been permitted to think. The ship's sailing without us, Chantier. We're on our way to a private garage in Hammersmith, where we'll change cars. Then we leave at once for an aerodrome in Kent, where we'll meet a man called Zarahov, who's going to fly us to Portugal. You needn't worry about how we get from Portugal to South America. That's been looked after, too.
Who's been knowing all this time but you?
No one.
Why you are not telling me, Dimitri?
Because I did not see fit to.
This car. What are we doing with it?
It stays in the Hammersmith garage. Sooner or later, it will be returned to its rightful owner, I expect.
Why do you have to talk so much, Yachty? We'll have the next 20 years to babble about how we escaped. Can't you keep quiet?
There. So you're getting on Hades' nerves again. I suggest you do as she says.
Now that we actually have the loot, I can't believe it. When Keane was standing outside the depot in Shaftesbury Avenue, I nearly died.
One more step, and the only one to die would have been Gregory Keane. I'm very glad we didn't have to cut him down then and there. It would have ruined the final perfection of my arrangements.
Do you mean there's something else you have not told us about?
Oh, very definitely.
What is it this time?
Well, unless I'm very much mistaken, Gregory Keane died about 5 minutes ago.
Keane died? How?
Oh. Well, when I prepared that dummy trunk to be mistaken for ours with the loot in it, I thought how pointless to leave it empty. Surely we could put it to some secondary use. I asked myself, what should I put in it in place of a million in currency? Then I suddenly hit on my brilliant idea.
Oh, tell me, can't you? How have you killed Gregory Keane?
Well, seeing the trunk was being delivered to his flat, I thought, why not put in some dynamite and a detonator of fulminated mercury and a battery and a little switch that would blow the thing sky high the moment the lid was opened. Gregory Keane has been presented with a very powerful bomb, my dear Hayley.
Oh, how horrifying. He will open the trunk and be blown to fragments.
Oh, absolutely. Not a sliver of Major Keane at MI5 will be ever seen again. Nor with any luck of Cuts and any number of other MI5 people. I really feel I should be congratulated.
You're not human.
Oh, on the contrary, I'm very human. I have an overpowering desire for a cigarette, so light me one, will you, Hayden? We're nearly there, and the last half hour's been rather trying on my nerves, too, good as they are. What a pity we can't be on hand to watch that explosion.
So there's our trunk, delivered to your flat, Keane.
Ah.
Now, this is one time I'll accept the blame. This is my doing, and you were right. It's obvious what happened back there at Shaftesbury Avenue.
Yes, they switched the trunks on us. You know, they must have been actually there. Now I know what I felt. Hayley was in that depot, too. Not 10 feet from me.
No, recriminations won't help, old chap.
No, Colonel Fentress, recriminations won't help. But what will?
Well, now we've got this dummy palmed off on us, what are we going to do with it?
There's only one thing we can do. Make sure it is a dummy trunk. Cuts. Open it. There we stood in the hallway of my block of flats. Cuts, Colonel Fentress, Paulus, Ridgeway, half a dozen of us. Clustered round the cabin trunk presented to us by Demetrius, while Cuts fumbled at the lock. The lock came open, then the hasps, and then Cuts bent down to raise the lid. Not one of us could hear Demetrius laughing.
Does Cuts open the trunk? Listen to the next suspenseful chapter of Dossier on Demetrius.